In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys discuss the new trend called lumbersexuals. What is this reigning new look amongst men replacing metrosexuals? And has the bear community made an impact? Listen in as the Cubs tackle this bearded goodness. Also, we talk about our turkey days and more Danny Franzese fangirling. COL 289 starts now. Sunday, December 7th, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon. Everybody dance
now! That would make me Giggly Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bear self.
And welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the bear podcast of indeterminate length, episode number 289. And I think I need to get back in because I think I'm mission completed. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about it. Let's go. So the really neat and important stuff is that I had Thanksgiving at the Dankovich, Michigan, and it was the first time that I've ever had a Thanksgiving where I've cleaned my plate completely. For both the regular meal and dessert, and everything tasted good.
Ooh.
So there wasn't like one thing or something that I didn't like or anything. I had a little bit of everything. I had two deviled eggs. I only had two deviled eggs. Well, I suppose the Jell-O wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't bad at all, so it was good. One of the guests brought a cranberry sauce made with apples, so an apple cranberry sauce. It was so, so good.
That was interesting.
The turkey was perfect. Had some mashed potatoes, had some sweet potatoes, we had some green bean casserole, which usually it tastes bland or kind of gross, but this was delicious. And the stuffing was great. Had wine. It was fantastic. So it was a really good Thanksgiving to hang out. And I got to actually have dogs like jump on me and be able to like sit there in my lap. Because there were two chihuahuas there. Unfortunately, Sona doesn't do any of that, so it gave me some nice cuddle time with the dog. Dog sitting on my belly or something. One time, Tiny was barking a lot, and they decided to put a muzzle on her.
Oh.
She tried to hide behind me.
Oh.
I was like, uh-uh. I'm not saving you. So I picked her up, brought her around, held her while they put the muzzle on, and then she just kind of like stayed there on my belly. Just like sat there looking around like, what did I do? So it was funny. Then more wow.
More yay, wow.
Wow. The garrisons are a time sink. And it's like right before I log off or anything, I have to flip through all my characters so I can check their garrisons and make sure to refill their work orders and see if I can move on to the next step of something. So it was it's getting kind of crazy. And next week on December 6th will be our first raid of the expansion, finally. We also did last night. I finally did my first challenge mode, which was a pain in the ass. But a challenge mode dungeon is just running the 5-man dungeons, except really hard. The goal is to get through this hard dungeon as fast as possible. And you can either get a gold, silver, bronze, or no medal. And anyway, the higher the medal you get, the better the reward you get for getting it. But they have these dailies of completing it. So it doesn't matter if you get a medal or anything, but you complete it and then you can get a piece of higher gear. I think it's like 640 or something like that for the eye level, but it gives you some good gear. I fortunately, the stats on some of the gear that the other people got weren't so great, but when I got them, it was just the stats I needed. So
sweet.
It was good.
Cool.
So that's what's been going on with me. Gaming.
Well, apparently I cannot have Thanksgiving without some kind of drama. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Mine was okay. The food was great. Don't get me wrong. Awesome food. Awesome time with family. Laughed a whole lot. Blah, 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 blah. But this year we were Thanksgiving was done in a hotel suite because the families who have houses who would be able to host us chose not to this year. And there was drama that I wasn't aware of until the, you know, till yesterday when I was coming home that sort of makes sense. But there were family members who didn't come. And the reason that they chose to come was, in my personal opinion, petty and childlike. But that's, you know, their business and whatever, you know, maybe next year. But now the family has been sort of trying to figure out whether we want to keep doing this. Our older generations, my mother, her sisters, and some of them have kind of decided to put things off to the side and allow one of my cousins and whatnot to take the reins. And she has done so for several years now and has, to me, done a really great job in getting everything together, getting all the food there. Everyone knows where to be. You know, it's been great. But there is concern about us continuing to do it, or if we do it, there's talk about going out of town again, which personally I'm fine with either way. I would like to keep doing it, but I'm not doing anything. I just come and eat. I show up and I eat and I laugh and I have fun. I don't make anything. So I don't, you know, I'm not involved in that. So if people are getting tired of doing it, then okay, we won't do it. It'll suck, but you know, that's what family drama is all about, apparently. So there was that.
So I have a quick question.
Sure.
If you and Jim get a house, would you consider hosting?
That's a question to cross bridge once we get to it. Because one, the family would have to know. And I have some very religious people in my family that I don't think would be okay with, oh, you know, your cousin or nephew or whatnot is gay. And not only that, he is dating a man 16 years his senior, and oh, they're living together in a house in Cincinnati. Yeah.
Okay. So, and you're getting a house with a man 16 years his senior.
Exactly.
Just that.
Yeah.
What is your family going to think?
Huh?
Think about it as, hey, you're about to make a big decision that's probably going to lead to explaining a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just being like, maybe you should get it over and done with.
Oh, Jeff.
and you might, because you know it's about to come up. You're so close.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. You don't have to take my. You don't have to do it. I think that if you're about to move in before that all happens, and before you even think about hosting. Make sure everybody knows what the dealio is.
Yeah.
And then that will probably actually be the answer to your question.
Yeah.
But you would have to, you know, because you're going to be moving in. There's going to be questions. You might as well give answers. Yes. I'm just saying, again,
yes,
personal opinion, things might kind of fall apart, but at least don't do it during a Thanksgiving.
Trust me.
Okay.
It has been one of my thoughts for a while. And yeah, doing it at Thanksgiving, I think, is like the worst possible time.
Thanksgiving and Christmas, any holiday, keep it away from that. Always do it like 4th of July. That's probably okay.
4th of July is my mom's birthday.
Okay. So anyway, I'm trying to basically say away from.
All right.
Just do it in the new year. Work from there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyway, crossing
bridges. I don't know. You could have the whole family over. I mean, just, you know, tell them that you have a house available to use. And then you host it, and, you know, it's just all in one fell swoop. By the way, this is my house. This is my partner. Yes, he's older than me. Yes, he's white. And we're gay. Get over it. Oh, you don't want to come in now? Bye-bye. Hi, Felicia.
More food for me.
All kidding aside, I think you'll make the decision when you just need to. I simply ask the question because I'm like, well, sometimes you are your own solution. It's like if the family's having issues about gathering, then, well, maybe you host.
But, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. And don't worry. There are bridges that will be crossed. These are questions that have come up in my mind about a lot of things. So, but there's that. So family drama aside, yesterday we had the Scorpion, the leather group I belong to, on a totally different tangent. The leather group that I belong to, that Jim and I belong to, had our holiday party at one of our members' house. It was a good time. Great food and, once again, you know, entertaining each other, not in that way, just laughing and telling stories and having fun. And we did a Dirty Santa gift exchange, which is one of the few things I actually really enjoy. It's where, you know, everyone picks a number and the first person picks a gift and then the second person can either take their gift or pick another one and go from there. So I ended up with a $25 gift card to AMC, the movie theaters.
Cool.
So I will definitely be enjoying that. Granted, $25 is basically two people.
Well, it's actually four showings. Well, it's Cincinnati. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, here I can get away with four matinee showings for that.
Let me say this. $25. Let's convert that over to Alamo Drafthouse because that's practically the only place I like going to see movies. $25 is one showing.
Mm-hmm. For one person?
Yeah, just one person.
Yeah. So yeah, it's you know, movies are expensive. You know, we don't.
And well, the thing about the $25 is I've got my movie ticket, then I've got my pizza, then I've got my beer.
Ah.
So it almost a little more expensive, but, you know, hearty meal instead of like just popcorn. Although the popcorn is really great and it comes out in a silver bowl. It's awesome.
So,
steel bowl, not silver, but steel.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So, you know, it would be fun. It would be a good time and whatnot. So I'm looking forward. We'll probably, you know, go and see that. Eventually, well, Jim and I will probably indulge in a movie. We usually do it on New Year's, so that might be a good reason to go. So there's that. Gary, I believe. Yes, Gary.
Well, my life is slowly getting back to what I call normalcy, which is I spent a couple weeks traveling for pleasure and for business, and now we're getting back into the normal day-to-day kind of thing where I feel like I can, I don't know, just get my groove back, for lack of a better reference. and I don't mean like Stella, get your groove back, but, you know,
get
just
back
like,
in the groove.
Well, yeah, just like do the day-to-day stuff and be like, you know, I just look around and I'm like, oh man, like I got to get this done and I got to get that done. And I really got to work on some stuff for the run and I got a committee meeting coming up. I feel like I've been out of sync for a couple weeks. So it's nice to have that opportunity. And Thanksgiving was good. Interesting. The family got together, mom's family.
And of course, right before I leave to go pick her up. Oh, well, that was another thing. We're into a new thing with my mother's family. They're text messaging each other before the event, like who's bringing what.
Oh.
So I get all these text messages and I'm in Texas, you know, traveling for work. And I was told via text that other people decided for me that I was bringing corn. Fine, whatever. Then someone else decides they're doing corn. And so now I'm doing green beans.
Okay.
Right. I'm like, okay, fine. And the original text from my aunt said, could you please make corn and another vegetable? So I had, you know, not replied because I was busy working. I was in Texas and I'm, you know, when I get back, I'll reply. Then it switches from, you know, then, you know, someone tells me I'm going to do corn. Then I'm going to do green beans. I'm like, what the fuck ever, people? So anyways, so I talked to my mom and she's like, no, you just have to make one. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm going to make two because I don't trust that. Like my aunt originally asked for two, so she's getting two. And if anybody gives me any shit, I'll be like, well, then look at her because she asked originally for two.
Huh.
So anyways, I made green bean casserole. I did the Alton Brown recipe. And for the most part, it's a good recipe. Two things went a little awry for me.
Wait. Don't we need the sound effect?
Sound effect?
Isn't this part of your...
Oh, wait. Yes. So I think that's this.
Hey, it's listed as it under the dock. I want to
make sure. I forgot. You're right. I was like, wait, we have a sound effect for green bean casserole.
Like, well, and before I realized what he was talking about, I was like, what? Is there like a cooking sound effect that I had or an Alton Brown thing? And then I'm like, oh, no, green bean casserole.
Right.
Anyways, moving on.
So I followed the recipe. Two things did not quite go correctly. One, apparently I needed to blanch the fresh green beans that I bought and prepped longer because they were not fully cooked when we went to eat.
Oh,
at my aunt's, they weren't bad. They were more, you know, al dente than necessarily expected. But my mother had an issue with this because my mother only has some teeth, not all teeth. And so she prefers things to be softer. And so I got chastised in front of the entire family at the table about the fact that I didn't. Actually, her words were, you didn't use canned green beans. So something to that effect. And I was like, no, I used fresh green beans. And I quit looking at her because she's sitting immediately to my side. I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for this. We're not having a fight about the goddamn casserole. So consequently, the beans didn't quite cook all the way through. And the sauce didn't thicken like it was supposed to. Oh. It sort of did in the pan, but I was, you know, I was in a hurry. And of course, that's when – so my point is mom texts me and says, can you bring – I need change for a 20. And I'm like, really? It's Thanksgiving. No banks are open on Thanksgiving. Not many places are open, at least around here, on Thanksgiving.
No.
So I just stop at a gas station before I get to pick her up to get change. So it was a kind of a frantic day, but the day overall was pretty decent. It was good to see the family, to just laugh at the silliness of all of us and that kind of a thing. So yeah, I kind of screwed up a classic American dish. Oh, and then the other thing was I sort of overcooked the onions. Instead of the French's fried onions, you make them from scratch. And they actually turn out pretty decently. But I wasn't thinking through the whole, like, you make them separately in the oven and then you put them on top of the casserole and then you put the casserole back in the oven. And I followed the instructions, but they were a little far done than they should have been on the first part.
Oh.
So I'm eating those for days on end now.
Green bean casserole or French fried onions?
The green bean casserole.
Oh.
It's getting done into all sorts of different things. But so yeah. And then I went and saw a bunch of movies recently. I treated myself, the boys and I, we went and saw Big Hero 6.
Yay.
From Disney. It's really good. And fun. I liked it. Actually, now that I think about it, it reminds me sort of oh my God, the name just went out of my head. Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm.
So if you went and saw that, which was cute and fun, It reminds me of that in some ways. But it's interesting because it's Disney's first Marvel movie that's animated. So it's very interesting. And I know nothing about the comic book universe. So I don't know the backstory of Big Hero 6 and how it came about or read any of the comics or any of that kind of stuff. So yeah. For me, it was good. It was fun. It was nice to see.
Yeah. I will reserve comment.
And
it's good for what it is, but it is
it's not Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Right. No, okay. This is, again, let's take take an example. Captain America in the comic books, Captain America in the movies. Iron Man in the comic books, Iron Man in the movies. Different. Sure, there's similarities, but different.
Yeah.
So just take it at this. Big Hero 6 the movie versus Big Hero 6 the books, different. In this case, a lot more different. But different.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I really know more about that is because there's a podcast called Geek History Lesson. Mm. They did a whole history and explanation of Big Hero 6. So
nice.
That's why I said it.
So yeah. So the boys and I went and saw Big Hero 6. I wanted to really see it. They wanted to see Mockingjay Part 1 from The Hunger Games. They actually had free passes to go see the movie because months and months ago, Best Buy was doing a promo with Samsung. And if you went in the store and you agreed, you watched the trailer for Mockingjay Part 1 on a new Samsung tablet, with headphones, and they gave you a free ticket to go see the movie.
Wow.
That's all you had to do. Seriously.
Wow.
So Vince and I did it, and I gave him my ticket and said, here, like, you boys can go see the movie. Like, I didn't care that much about seeing Part 1 because the one thing I can't stand is seeing a movie that I don't have a huge desire for, and especially a Part 1. Like, I can just watch it on Netflix. But because I went and wanted to go see Big Hero 6 and they joined me, I then joined them and we watched Mockingjay Part 1.
Sweet.
So, which was good. Interesting. And it's interesting to listen to people who read the books talk about how the movie's different. And I'm kind of like, ugh, I didn't read the damn book, so I don't give a shit. Anyway. And then I just went and treated myself. I went solo because, damn it, I was going to go. And I'm so glad I did. The whole point of this running dialogue is I went and saw Interstellar.
Ooh.
With Matthew McConaughey and Michael Caine and Jessica Chastain and a whole bunch of other people who actually aren't promoted really anywhere, who are kind of surprise actors in the movie. And I'm not going to spoil it, but I don't know how to explain it. It's so – all I have to say is if you have any interest in space travel and science fiction, go see it because it's a science fiction possible future in like, I don't know, 50 years, less than 50 years from now. And the whole point of the film, if you haven't already heard, is we screwed up the world. It's dying. We have to get off the planet. That's the premise. And the whole point of Interstellar is that Matthew McConaughey's character ends up traveling through space, basically going to places that haven't been before, like through a wormhole to another galaxy to try to find us a new home with Anne Hathaway and some other characters and stuff. And it's visually, I found it amazingly stunning, and it's a bit of a mind warp if you ever have interest in time travel theory and like multiple parallel universes and dimensions and stuff. It was, it still got me thinking about it. So,
cool.
That's very that. Cool. All right, I'm going to shut up now. Moving on.
Moving on.
Huh. Huh. Sweet.
All right. So we start off in the Bear Underground group. We got a post in the Bear Underground group, an actual post. You can do this at the Bear Underground groups. Either Cubs Out Loud Entourage on Bear Underground. We also had the CLL Entourage on Facebook and Google Plus. Viper7948 says, I listen to you guys at work all the time. You guys make the day amazing. I wanted to message first off because I haven't been on Bear Underground in a while, but also because something amazing has happened. LOL. My husband and I have been tops, and that has made our sex life non-existent, to say the least. I started playing with toys, and damn, now I'm a bottom that's the most amazing orgasm that has ever had. The sex life is back! It is amazing. We've been together 8 years and going strong, waiting for marriage equality to reach Michigan. One day, maybe? Question mark? Thank you guys for keeping life good and interesting. I love hearing your shows and hope you guys continue for a long time.
Well, congratulations on being a new bottom. Yay. The tops of the world. Thank you. a kid only a little, but no, it's coming from a relationship where both the guys are tops, me and my partner. It can be a little frustrating to maybe want to do something, but realize you can't really. And try as you might, you know, sometimes it's just become difficult. You found out that you enjoy potentially being a bottom. So good for you for exploring your sexual horizons and coming to a good destination. Yay.
Always good to be at least a little bit versatile, if anything. So that's my question. Question would be, are you a bottom or are you now pretty versatile? You know, you've got more into the bottom side of things, but you're still versatile.
That's true.
That question mark. And moving on into our Facebook likes, we've got a little bit of catch up to do here. All right, everybody, stretch.
A little bit.
It has been.
That's okay. Like a month plus.
But, you know, we've got some really nice guys. Welcome back. Welcome. Yay.
We would like to thank the following people for liking us on Facebook. We got Alvin Collins, Bailey Godfrey, Bailey, Bill Wilson, Brian Beeson Moses, Brian Carney, Brian Hinton, Brian Mulvihill, Brian Stoll, a lot of Brians, Carlos Barnell Olimar, Charles Keenan, Chaz Antonelli, Christopher Reed, Clarence Cole, and Craig Goddard. Hey, I could actually pronounce most of those names.
Look at that.
And then we have Danzig McPherson Collins, Don Croy. Hey, Don. Ed Koviak. Mm-hmm. Ed GMYS. I'm Gimis. Just going to spell it. Gimis. Yeah. Gary Brown. Gary McCoy. Jake Paco Hashigan. Jason Bolton, Jeremy Justin Lagore, Joseph Merlot, Kelvin Ambergay, son of a bitch, Masa Milano Genesi, Matthew Stern, and Matthew Thomas.
We also want to thank Michael Folkman, Michael McDuffie, Phil Ruggiero, Randall Stratton, hey RJ, Randy Rensko, Rob Colelurio? Come tell me how to tell your name. Ryan Argood, Scott Tomlinson, Thomas Riley Wagner, Tom Cheney, Wayne Tucker, and William Ziegelmeyer.
Nice.
Nice. So next time, Gary, next time you can probably put yours as the longer one.
What do you mean? Oh,
wait, each Damon and I have two extra.
Okay. They were even until today when more people, since the last time I updated the list, added likes. And I do them in alpha order by first name. So that's just kind of the way the grid came out. It was not intentional. And as you heard, Damon struggled and so did I. And you had the easier of the list. So it's not intentional. And we hereby apologize to anybody that we screw up your name, but I think this list is the most people I actually know, like friends of mine on Facebook. So I was quite happy.
Cool. Yeah. So welcome. Thank you for liking us.
And I'm sure that Bailey liked us not just because his husband is on our show quite often.
Or because he thinks we're hot.
Okay, I think I'm sure about.
There we go.
Hey, and did anybody happen to notice we're approaching 800 likes?
Ooh.
On Facebook. Almost. Someone might be at the lucky 800th.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Oh, do you have some sort of prize for the 800th?
Maybe. Oh, I don't know.
And by the way, looking at Viper's Bear Underground account, he is a versatile top.
Well, now he's a versatile top. He's become a versatile top. Yay! He actually, the good thing is he updated his status. Indicates versatility. So I guess my question about the whole, are you a bottom or are you versatile? Mm-hmm. It just got answered. So
I think it's funny that it's just like us to celebrate someone's
versatility.
Yes, in their orgasms.
Hey, I like orgasm, but what's wrong with that? It's good to have. It's good to have that versatility because you never know who you might encounter. Now, he is in a monogamous relationship. You know, more power to him. You know, but you never know who you might encounter. Where, oh, I need to, you know, maybe I need to bottom right now. Okay, I can do that. No problem. No problem at all.
And let me say this: I think that all tops, and I have myself, and do it sometimes. I think all tops need to, you know, get the backside played with at least a little bit.
I agree.
You know, so it gets a little into the, so you know what your bottom is feeling, and maybe at times you get that top to top thing.
Yeah,
things might fit together more.
Yeah,
just saying.
And we are whores. Okay.
No.
All right.
No, no, we're sluts. Whores.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Silly me. I keep getting those mixed up. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Speaking of getting things mixed up, let's talk about this shit.
Chop. Paul Bunyan never is probably the biggest that we know of lumbersexuals. What the hell? Gary.
All right. So for those of you that are somehow unaware, there is a trend sweeping the country, apparently. The metrosexual is being replaced with a lumbersexual. What the fuck is a lumbersexual?
That's a good question.
So I'm going to read. We have a couple of articles that were recently posted online. And there's a quiz. So we're going to have a little discussion about this thing. So this particular article is from the bolditalic.com. And it says, the metrosexual is dead. In his place, straight from a grove of western white pines in Willamette National Forest, comes the slightly more rugged, beardier, quote unquote, lumbersexual. And they say that's what outdoorsy site Gear Junkie has to say about it anyway. In a slightly tongue-in-cheek trend piece about the visual strangeness of educated professionals going for woodsman chic. It's both an affectionate dig at the readers and an astute observation. Guys are putting in time and money to look effortlessly masculine in $550 pair of boots. So basically, I think it's kind of funny. It goes on and then later says, it goes without saying that virtually no man ever called himself a metrosexual, which really just referred to men who shopped for their own pants, went to the gym, and used moisturizer.
Yeah.
And they say, we don't expect the term lumbersexual to blow up, no matter how ubiquitous lumbersexuals have become.
Yeah.
And then Andrew Sullivan has a website and a blog. I realize he's a bit polarizing for some people. In the gay community, but he also posted about this recently. And within it, it quoted Holly Baxter, who said this about the concept of a lumbersexual. I like the poser who sits beside me at a nauseatingly hip cafe with his cold brew, barber jacket, and anchor tattoos. I can't deny it. He isn't telling me he's anything but a freelance web designer who can grow an impressively bushy mustache. He isn't sitting at home crying over his laptop and wondering why he can't just get out there and be a quote unquote real man. Instead, he's playing with the concept of what masculinity looks like and does. He is at the same time both aggressively attached to a traditionally masculine look and completely removed from the lifestyle that it advertises. So basically, men who, for lack of a better reference, are hipsters that look like Paul Bunyan.
And that's what you're saying a lumbersexual is.
That's what they're saying a lumbersexual is.
True. And I will admit, you know, I've been, especially in recent years, within the last couple of years, I've seen this trend, especially at work. I work in a corporate office, and I am noticing a lot more often than I used to, guys, especially getting the beards, like growing out the facial hair and getting that beard kind of look, but still wearing like the button down, you know, shirts and khakis and whatnot, and kind of, you know, making their way, and they're comfortable and relaxed. And I'm seeing it a lot more often. I'm assuming that this is sort of falling on this lumber sexual trend.
Well, as it were. As Andrew Sullivan said in his article, it seems to him it's driven by a little cultural balance of high tech 21st century with the mores of the low tech 19th century, whether it be local brews, carpentry, or sturdy all weather clothing, meaning it's like a fusing of a ruggedness in today's environment, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the concept behind it. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is I've noticed for years and years and years, ever since the bear community really started to kind of make its, place in the gay community, is that over time, it's become harder to tell who is family, quote unquote. Mm. Because you go out and I'll be, you know, shopping at a store and I'll see a guy and he has a nice beard, you know, nice build. And then I'm not really sure, because there was a time when I could figure out by looking at a guy who pretty much met for, and I know I'm already discussing this, I met the stereotype look of a bear. And now I see them damn near everywhere.
Yeah.
In all shapes and sizes. So there are, you know, guys wearing skinny jeans and Carhartt, you know, jackets and a beanie cap and a big bushy bull, you know, beard. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I feel you. I've been doing this I've been seeing it for a while. Like you said, you see these people that you're just sort of like, are you? No, you would have been like, oh, you're definitely gay. If this had been like a few years ago, you probably would have, I would have 9 times out of 10 been like, okay, you're family. But if not now, especially now, you're seeing it more often. You're seeing these, yeah, I hate using the word hipster because it makes my skin crawl. But you're seeing these hipsters doing this thing where they look almost gay, but there is a difference, and I've been definitely seeing that more often than not as well. I'm starting to finally pinpoint them.
The lumber sexual versus the bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause to me, the main difference is the lumber sexual is definitely a look. Like, well, there's a culture clash. I'm getting a combination of, like I said, the hipster sort of metrosexual, and then the ruggedness of the bear kind of look. If I can see that, I kind of know, like, they're especially skinny jeans and a beard. That's a big one. Like, you're not a bear. You might be, but more than likely you're not a bear. You're just a lumber sexual.
I think it's interesting because I knew this topic was coming up and I discussed it with the boys. One of them actually said, well, wait, what are the characteristics? So I start describing it. And then I think the question was, does that mean I'm a lumber sexual? Because at the instant we were having the discussion, they were wearing a knit cap and a flannel shirt and jeans and boots. And it was funny because I was like, no, not exactly. Like, and the reality is, the moment that we had this conversation and I'm looking at him, I was like, oh, you look like me 15 to 20 years ago.
Oh.
and by that, I mean, like, there was a time in the bear community that was the dress code.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't dream of going out to the bar without boots and, you know, flannel. Regular jeans, not fashion jeans, but, you know, just basic Levi's or Wranglers, mm-hmm. and a, you know, and a flannel shirt. And that was pretty much it, you know. And so I find it interesting now that this is sort of a thing, quote unquote. What do you think, Jeff?
They're encroaching on our territory, is my point.
That is so true. That is so true.
But wait a minute. But you think about this. Straight people do this all the time. They try to encroach on something that that was, you know, our thing, right? Because mm-hmm. you start off with the metrosexuals, basically. The metrosexuals think, oh, gay is cool. Let's look that way. You know, and they do the whole shave product, everything, right? They go, they're very metro, you know. I asked one guy at one point in time, is it curtains or drapes? And he said, drapes. And I go, and I look at him funny because I knew he was straight. And he goes, I'm very metro.
Ha.
Ow.
Now, they're looking at the us bears here, and they're like, you know what? Those queers over there. Nah, I want to be men like those bears over there.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because also at Andrew's article, I took a moment to think about what he says here, that he thinks that this is a huge achievement for the gay male America. And he goes on to say, not only are we more comfortable in our own unpolished masculinity, we've created a cultural space for straight men to do the same. To put it another way, gays have helped redefine masculinity for straights. And for the first time, straights have not responded by feeling in any way tainted or discomforted by the association. In the process, the gays have craftily transformed the public space by exponentially increasing the number of men we might have a hankering or a fetish for. Therefore, mm-hmm. win-win.
Yeah. When I read that, I agree. It makes sense. You know, we're men are visual. Gay men are visual. Why not keep that view? Not, you know, keep what we like to see on the streets, you know, every day. Like, trust me, at work, I do a double take every once in a while when I pass the lunchroom because there's one in particular who just is this adorable little cub.
Oh, but I've got one guy who's just like two cubes back and on the other side of the aisle.
Yeah.
He's always there.
Yeah.
He's constantly in the location. And I'm like, God damn you, Chris. You're so gorgeous.
Exactly.
Like you realize now if this guy listens to this podcast, he's going to know exactly who you're talking about.
Chris McCandless, if you are listening to this podcast, feel free to ask me to suck your cock because I will.
Wow! Well, there you go.
As long as I get a kiss with that as well. And I'm not just talking about a peck. I'm talking about a kiss. Because that beard,
there are definitely to move back. There are definitely like those guys that I do a double take when I see them at work, and I go, yeah, it's nice to see that, to see like that, that beard bearer kind of what I hate using the word masculine. That kind of I'll use ruggedness. That ruggedness that I kind of would see, but I see it on a daily basis because, you know, it's just right there. Well, I had a.
To me, it is more manly.
Yeah.
Because what were men? What are men? They've got hair growing from their face and other parts of their body. You know, they're hairy motherfuckers. We came from gorillas. Come on. We can at least hang on to some of that.
Manly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I may have said this before on the podcast. I mean, my father is almost all my life had facial hair. Had a goatee, then had a beard. And my dad told me when he was growing up in the 50s and 60s that he was not necessarily discriminated against, but people, you know, thought not well of him because they thought he was a communist. At that time in society, having facial hair was not necessarily – in American society, I should say, was not necessarily that acceptable. Mm-hmm. And now it's changed over the years. And as I get older – it's funny to me how, like, in my 20s and then into my 30s and now the beginning of my 40s, it's interesting to me to see how men are allowed to express themselves with their, you know, their own reference of manliness, whatever you want to call it. And now more than ever, facial hair is totally it. Body hair is totally it. Like, you know, more than it ever has been before. And it's funny because there's a part of me that's like, damn, like, it's a good time to be a man loving man. in our history, so to speak, other than, well, maybe except for like the Romans and the Greeks, but
I know exactly what you mean. It's that whole, like, you're going to always have the eye candy, the stroller daddies, you're going to see it. Mm-hmm. And now with this lumbersexual sort of idea coming around and becoming definitely more popular, you're going to be inundated with it every day. I see it practically every day. And whereas, you know, 10 or so years ago, I know, like, my friend Sean, who is a bear, grew a bear cub, you know, had the beard and whatnot. When he started working for this company, he couldn't have a beard. He couldn't even.
I would have quit.
Yeah. See, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Damon, because I might have discussed this before. Years ago, when I worked in the restaurant industry, I attended the Disney Keys to Management Success seminar. And now, looking back on it, I realize what they were doing. They're basically recruiting to get people to come work for them. But I mean, I did get some valuable information from it, but I was there with my boss who had paid for it, you know, the owner of the restaurant. And they say to me, kind of right in front of him, which I thought was ballsy, but they didn't know. They were like, oh, would you be interested in coming to work for Disney? And blah, 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 blah. To which I was like, well, there's a couple of reasons why I'm going to decline. One, I'm here with my boss. See, that's him. Hi. You know, right next to me. He actually paid for this, so that's kind of rude. Two, you have a policy about your cast. Everyone who works for Disney is called a cast member. And at the time, they had a very strict dress code about your looks, and men could have no facial hair, period. Mm. Mm. Or I believe piercings, like in your ears, let alone anything. Yeah. And I told him, I said, that's something that I'm not willing to address, like to adjust myself. I did it once previously working for a restaurant. I had to cut all my hair off. Not all of it, but I had long hair down past my shoulders, and they wouldn't employ me unless I cut my hair.
Oh, wow.
And so I already did that once in my life. I was like, I'm not doing it again. Now, since then, notably, Disney has upgraded and changed their policies. I believe you can have tattoos, but they have to be covered. So, like, if you have a tattoo, it's like way up on your upper arm and it can never be seen. Do you know what I mean? Like through a costume or that kind of thing. Some male cast member characters can have facial hair. Mm-hmm. So I believe if you're going to like be Jafar from Aladdin, you can have a goatee. Like, it makes sense to what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. But so there's been times that businesses just aren't interested in that. And more I see, like, on Facebook, there's been some recent stuff about would you hire this person? And it's a person with tattoos or piercings or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's been visual campaigns where they show them in their work environment looking very professional, and then they show them outside of work, and suddenly you can see the tattoos or the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
Hmm.
Because I recognize I'm conflicted. I'm all about people expressing themselves. So I love seeing people who have ink, who have wild hair and, you know, and body piercings and stuff, because I'm not fully, you know, the same type of person. So I appreciate their sense of individuality. But at the same time, I think in terms of if I was a business owner, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, if I want to be taken seriously as a business, would that be an issue? How my employees look? And no. I think that's probably showing my age and my generation, because now this concept of lumbersexual is, I think, mostly youth driven.
Yeah.
So I think that's a changing trend that people in their 20s, for the most part, I think, is the group, you know, we'll say 20 to 30. Those individuals are much more, that millennial generation is much more expressive about just being themselves and not really getting tied up in, like, I think the social mores or whatever. They're kind of like, I like to look this way, do this thing.
There's not as much emphasis on on look nowadays. Not saying that these, you know, the lumbersexuals could not be, you know, there could not be some potential discrimination and whatnot against them, or having to have them make decisions depending on their employment, you know. But a lot of these companies are becoming a bit more open and, you know, more understanding of, it's about how well you do the job, not necessarily of how good you look.
True. Perhaps what we're seeing is it's more about, do you deal with the public or not? Yeah. Because the more I think about it, if you work a job where you're not interacting face to face with the public, then there's really not much care for a dress code or an appearance code, I guess is the more correct way to say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if you if you work in warehousing, if you work in factory industry, sometimes mechanics, if you or a web coding, do you know what I mean? Like IT, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Those seem to be the industries where they don't really care what the hell you look like. Just get the job done. Mm-hmm. But if you're working, say, in the medical industry, face to face, or hospitality industry, in legal, in law enforcement, I think there's a much more stricter guideline of how a person should present themselves or present whatever the entity is.
More strict. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I find it very interesting. But I wanted to bring it up as a discussion because it was driving me crazy to hear this term thrown out. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah, I've seeing this whole thing in this new – these. You know, if it lasts, because obviously metrosexual didn't last, you know, more power, because, you know, hey, I don't mind seeing a bearded man, you know, walking around. You know, I prefer to see him walking around naked, but, you know, that's just me. I'm sure that's not just me. But, you know, it as long as it, you know, as long as you are expressing you and not some ideal of what you think you should be, then more power to you. But the only issue I foresee this being is it becomes that trend where, well, everyone saw the South Park episode. Well, not everybody, but the South Park episode where they talked about the metrosexuals, where I know it was a you know, where people were doing it just because they felt like they had to. Like, it wasn't, they weren't being them. And yeah, their women liked it, but whatever, but they weren't being them. They were doing it because it was the popular thing and that's what you had to do. I don't want this to become, oh, I need to grow a beard because I have to, because this is the look that people are looking for now.
Well, I agree with what you say. However, being a Scorpio with huge Libra tendencies, my balance is, I think people will do it. I think there are people out there that will do this, like, want to be kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's the thing to do. I mean, I think of when I was a teenager and my father, even though my parents were divorced, my father had talked to me once and he tried to give me advice and he said, listen, your high school years are going to be some of the most difficult in your life, and it's because you want desperately to be accepted by your circle of friends, and you're not always going to have the jeans, the jacket, the whatever it is that everybody, you know, has to have or wants to have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just realize that this is a brief moment and it will pass in your life, which I found very interesting. And that's kind of the way I feel about this now, is that's where I'm balancing it and saying, I think there are people that are out there that will, you know,
and advertising and whatnot are already kind of jumping on it as well. We see the advertising all the time. I've recently seen an upswing on TV ads for Duluth Trading Company.
Yes.
For example, which is pretty much all this. I mean, it's women too, but they also sell the men's, you know, like the rugged wear, you know, the flannels and stuff like that. So it, yeah. But, you know, well, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the articles, we also found out that there's an online quiz that you can take.
And of course, we have to take it.
How lumbersexual are you?
This is the stupidest quiz I've ever seen.
I fully agree. It's 10 questions. It's not very long. And we got some very interesting results.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that some of them is like which place would you live in? And I'm like, I don't want to live in any of those places.
Right. But like most of these quizzes online, if you pay attention, you can rig the quiz to get the answer you want.
True.
Which I found quite comical. Because I was like, oh, obviously if I pick this answer, it makes me more of a lumbersexual.
Huh.
I always feel that way about the majority of the quizzes I see on Facebook and stuff. So, that being said, I'll go first. I turn out to be a little lumbersexual. And I don't think that's a reference to size. No. It says, you are no stranger to flannel, but you're not buying wax for your handlebar mustache anytime soon. You're excited about the arrival of fall and the opportunity to break out your lace-up boots, but you wouldn't be caught dead wearing them in July. We appreciate your moderation.
See, I don't know about that. That whole wouldn't be caught dead wearing them in July.
Okay.
I would probably wear them in July if they were uncomfortable.
If my feet weren't going to sweat, yeah, I'd probably wear them in July. But if it's going to be hot, then I wouldn't end up wearing them at that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It kind of cracked me up. I wasn't expecting to really get anything, but I got a little, which I think, Jeff, you also rated as a little.
Yes, sexual. I had a little.
So the two of us will wear flannel, but compose ourselves correctly and not necessarily go crazy with the products and the labels.
Yeah.
So, Damon?
Yes, Damon.
So, Damon took the quiz. And
I like how you're referring to yourself in the third person.
And I got the ultimate lumbersexual. I did. Yeah.
Okay.
We're just being quiet and letting that sink in.
Do you have the description?
Yes, I do. Timber, you are straight out of the well-groomed forest. You are lumbersexual and don't care who knows it. Good for you, dude. Enjoy a cold PBR at your favorite dive bar. So, yeah.
I take issue with the last statement.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but for some reason, all I hear is Kadalagra doing. It's going down. I'm yelling timber.
But no, I will admit I did answer the questions to the best of my ability.
Honestly, you weren't trying to rig anything.
No, I wasn't trying to rig anything. I seriously answered the questions as best I could. But, you know, like the first question, like your lumberjack icon, to me, that's Brawny Man. That's the Brawny Man. That's just in my head. That's it. You know,
correct.
You know, and then there are a couple of questions. I would love to live in Portland, but I visited there. And if you have seen Portland and you are a bear, are a lumbersexual, you would find like-minded people. Trust me. It was it was eye-turning, eye candy almost everywhere.
Right.
There are beards galore in Portland. It is sort of the go-to thing. So, yeah. So, anyway. So, you know, that's where I would want to live. So, it's, you know, it made sense to me. So, the fact that I got this answer surprises me, but not so much.
Well, okay. So when it asked you the question about the type of beer you would drink, what did you select? Did you choose PBR?
No, I chose Miller Lite because that's what I drink.
Okay.
Ew.
Yeah, hush.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything. I'm like, I at least chose craft beer, which I expected gave me more of a lumbersexual like rating.
No.
I would choose.
The lumbersexual drinks the lawnmower beers. Basically, the beers, which basically are water.
So there you go.
And that's pretty much it. And have absolutely no flavoring to them.
Yeah. I don't mind.
And you can just guzzle them down.
Yeah. I like some of those. I don't drink beer that often, but when I do, that's what I drink. I've had the occasional, you know, other things, but most of the time I'm pretty low key. I hate dark beers. I don't hate craft beers. It depends on the craft beer. You know, but I tend to like a lighter beer. So that's why I chose it. But anyway, you know.
Okay, I just went through the quiz while we were talking and tried to answer it to get David's answer. The picture that pops up is freaking me out.
Why? Was it the ultimate? Did you get the ultimate limbersexual?
Yes, but what picture came up for you?
The guy holding the axe?
Yes. Well, wasn't expecting to see a gentleman with no body hair and a six pack and cum gutters showing in low rise jeans with a flannel wrapped around his waist. I'm like, what the?
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay, I gotta see this.
Hold on, let me see if I can link the image alone, that way you'll be able to see it. I just was confused. I was like, this is the image they chose for
ultimate lumber sexual.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
it could just be, you know, what they mean, you know. You're not necessarily it could kind of fall along the veins of the metrosexual. To me, that's what I tend to fall with this, is that the lumbersexual is just a metrosexual without a beard, with a beard, and cares, doesn't, you know. Yeah, anyway, but that's me. But let's go through and see if I can tweak the answers again. I might as well. Let's see.
My whole point was to see if there's a middle ground, because I think if you're the ultimate and Jeff and I are a little, then there's got to be.
Okay, what did you select for the functional beard?
The beanie beard.
I think I chose, originally I chose, oh, I don't even remember what the hell I originally chose. The second time I went through it just now, I chose the PBR beard.
Let's see.
This is so entertaining to our listeners to listen to.
Yeah. Go through this. Flower beard.
I'm trying to choose the middle of the road stuff. Oh, the first time I went through, I chose the ramen beard.
Ah.
And I will tell you this, that ultimate lumber sexual image, that's not the ultimate lumber sexual. That's a metro.
Yeah. Let's see. What did I get this time? I got a little lumbersexual.
Calculating. So did I. I got the little one. Maybe there isn't a middle ground. That would be weird.
It has to be a middle ground. That just makes no sense. Anyway, it makes no sense. Anyway, we're gonna. I'll keep trying. But let's move on.
There will be a link. There's a whole series of links in this episode about this stuff. So
if you do not get a little lumbersexual or the ultimate lumbersexual, please tell us.
Get a copy of the image or link. Get a
screenshot link to something.
Image, yeah, so that we can see it, because I don't know.
So as a tie-in to this, there was another article that I found, which I think helps everybody, whether you're a lumbersexual, a little, a lot, the ultimate queen of whatever. It's 5 lesser known benefits of having a beard. Mm-hmm. Is the name of the article, and it's fun. And they're real quick, super easy. Number one benefit of having a beard is sun protection. According to recent research from the University of Southern Queensland, beards block up to 95% of the sun's UV rays, which can play a huge role in preventing basal cell carcinomas, which is the most common form of cancer. So if you have a beard, you're keeping your skin protected from getting skin cancer. Check that action out.
Hmm.
Number two is blemish-free skin. So it says, foregoing the razor doesn't just hide blemishes, it actually prevents them. Rash, razor rash, acne, and folliculitis, which is hair follicle inflammation, are often the result of shaving, according to Dr. Shannon Trotter, who's a fellow of Osteopathic College of Dermatology and a dermatologist at Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. She says razors can irritate the skin and even spread bacteria, which can cause an infection for a hair follicle.
Hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. I don't think it's 100% foolproof, because I know that I've had issues even with a beard.
Ingrown hairs, whatnot. Yeah.
There's probably other things, but there's probably less, like, you know, the rashes and acne and stuff. So there's probably less, just not as – it's better.
Yeah. Number three says a benefit is more masculinity. It says there's a reason you'd never steal a lumberjack's lady. Whatever. The more facial hair a man has, the more masculine both men and women perceive him to be, according to a research published in the Evolution in Human Behavior publication. If pure, unadulterated masculinity is what you're going for, let your beard hang low. If you're looking to impress the opposite sex, whatever, skip the razor for 10 glorious days in a row. The study found that the length that's the length that women found the most attractive.
Interesting.
It was 10-day growth. I'd like them to also quote what men found most attractive.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
If it's 10-day, then both sexes find 10 days of growth most attractive. But perhaps it's more. Perhaps a longer grown-in beard is more masculine or attractive. The fourth benefit of having a beard is natural moisture. You probably didn't know that your face has its own built-in moisturizing regimen. It's called the sebaceous glands, or oil glands for short. And according to Dr. Trotter, it secretes a natural oil that helps keep the skin moisturized. A thick beard not only prevents you from rubbing it off your face, it also protects the face from wind exposure, which can lead to redness and dryness. So, in fact, right before this episode, we were having a discussion about a friend of mine who was getting a killer deal on beard oil. So there's lots of beard products that have come onto the market in the past 10 years. And I happen to have one company that is based here in Pennsylvania. It's a mom and pop little business with a couple that I don't know them, but they're near Pittsburgh. Great people. In fact, I just ordered a kit from them. So I think that that's definitely something to keep in mind, is that if you're going to have facial hair, to not rely solely on your natural skin, so to speak, but to, you know, as the last one explains at the very end, that you should keep it washed regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is, it explains that the number five benefit is that it traps allergens. Nose hairs trap more than what we think they do. In addition to what we see in a tissue, nose hair actually traps pollutants that can cause harm to the body. So the more hair you have under your airways, in other words, a bigger beard and mustache, the more pollutants that we would keep from getting into the body. So just like we would treat a beard like any other filter, you need to wash it regularly.
Hmm.
Which kind of goes without saying. I mean, you just, yeah. But there are notably certain products that are better for beard hair than just a simple, I don't know, Axe body wash or whatever people are using.
Old Spice Swagger.
Yeah, I mean, Ivory Soap, I don't care. Irish Spring, whatever floats your boat.
See, I don't like the soaps because they make my skin, I don't know if it's really rough, but it feels weird. So I like the body wash because it's just kind of like a nice runoff, and I've got nice soft skin afterwards.
I agree. I quit using bar soap many years ago because I don't like the feeling that I have a coating on my skin. I don't know how else to explain it, but bar soap is in a solid form, and when you take a shower, it tends to leave a film, for lack of a better reference. So I switched to liquid body washes probably 10, 15 years ago. I mean, I'm not saying that I never use a bar soap. I just, it's the last resort if necessary.
Right. I always have some handy just in case.
I can't get a chance to get out to pick up the such and such, pick up the body wash, but I got the bars of soap. It's a backup.
Yeah. So now you know that you have 5 benefits to have a beard.
Yeah.
Cool. So more reason. So what? So do you guys have one? Yes, you should. Because you're a bear.
Hey. A,
and they make great flavor savers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever somebody points something out about something in your beard, you say, no, I'm just saving it for later. Right. Moving on to this.
Oh, gosh. Now, I have to see this.
My surf one, I just go, daw, because it's two naked elderly gentlemen, older gentlemen, I should say.
Oh.
And they're just kissing. Yes, I know the one guy is stroking the other guy's cock, but it, for some reason, it's kind of cute.
It's not just cute.
Oh, it's cute and then some.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't say duh. I say damn.
I kind of feel you there as well. It's
me right in the middle of all that. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Sexy and also sensual.
Yes.
I like the more reddish haired one on the left, who's got his arm around the guy and he's got his hand on his back and then he's got his hand on his chest, you know.
So it's sweet. A very good picture.
Yeah, it's very sweet. It's very hot. I would love to see where they go from here. I'm sure it would be a very interesting...
Probably has something to do with the bedroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the shower or something.
Or both. Or all three. Mm-hmm. All of them at the same time. Yes.
Okay. They can be my pants off friends any day.
Absolutely. Damon?
So I couldn't find a title for this one. I may come up with one here in a second. This guy is just super hot. And the first picture caught my eye because, that's kind of what I would see as kind of a lumbersexual kind of look. Our redneck, he kind of falls in the same vein. But then... I'm baseball, assuming it's the same guy, but it's all naked nudie goodness. And
oh my.
Yeah, he's flexible.
Hello, yummy.
Yeah. So he caught my eye and I would gladly to take care of any and all of his needs, as it appears, as he holds his hands behind his ankles behind
his back,
or yeah,
his head,
hell, where, yeah,
he's got the pillow under his butt,
yeah,
so he's propped up, ready,
yeah, it's all good, it's ready, it's perfect,
it's ready,
yeah, it is ready, okay.
Let's hear it for the big blonde boy with the pierced nipples and the yep.
So we'll call him big blonde Jack. Big blonde Jack. Short for lumberjack.
Ah, there you go. Hey. Nice.
There you go. Yes. So there you go. Yeah, I would gladly mm-hmm. take care of any and all of your needs, man. Okay.
So I have two this week. I'll explain the second one in a moment. The first one, I called it lumbersexual ? And here's why. When you open the picture, it is of a very handsome man with a beard. And a bar, and he's at a bar, and he has a beer in his hand, and he has a leather cuff on his right wrist, and a little ink peeking out underneath his undershirt that's long sleeve that's coming out of his flannel shirt, and he has a stud kind of plug in his ear. So he's completely fitting the description of a lumbersexual.
Mm-hmm.
and a hot bear cup all at the same time.
Yeah. Huh. Given.
And the look on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at this picture and now I'm trying to look at other things to see if I can get a good idea of where he is and what he's doing. He could just be a lumbersexual. This could be a totally straight guy that just damn. Or this could be a cub. It's hard to tell. If he's not giving off a bottom vibe to me, but the cuff on it just his right arm, unless he has a pair, mm-hmm. he's showing bottom. He's flagging bottom if it's just on his right wrist.
And if he knows what that means.
If he knows what it is. If he's lumbersexual, he probably doesn't. If he's straight and lumbersexual, he probably doesn't.
So my little leather hoard cuff that I've got, I put that on my left arm, so that's right.
Yes.
Correct, right?
Okay. Yes.
For the most part. The easiest way to remember it, which I was taught many years ago.
Left is right, right is wrong.
Correct. But also, if you wear them in a pair, it's not as easily, like, you're not necessarily saying you're versatile. It's just that you like the accessory. Like, I tend to wear pairs. And a thicker one on just your left arm can sometimes denote that you are a master or a daddy or a sir. Because Chess, for example, if you've seen pictures of him wearing... He tends to wear one leather cuff, and it is usually on his left wrist. Mm-hmm. Actually, almost always on his left wrist. I don't think he ever wears anything on his right. So, you know, just so you know, it mm-hmm. tends to denote top, but it also can denote sir, master, daddy. Yeah.
Well, this particular boy in this picture, mm-hmm. I don't care if he's straight or not. If he wants to spend, you know, about 8 minutes with me in a bathroom stall at the bar, that's perfectly fine too.
Speaking of 8 minutes in a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one.
Oh, my second Tumblr pick?
Yep.
This is not 8 minutes in a bathroom stall. Mm-mm, hell no. Well,
it is a major shake and bake. I'll tell you that.
This is 8 hours in my bed. Like, I will own. I am becoming uncomfortably fanboy stalker-ish.
No.
About a certain gentleman who came out this year, who I have been claiming for months on end is a bear, and it's obvious. I mean, come on. He's owning it, so I'm quite happy about it. So it's Daniel Franzese. What's up, Danny? Has a Tumblr account. I follow it, and he posted this pic, and I couldn't help but pick it as well. Yeah. And he's standing presumably like in a restaurant, I want to say, or a coffee shop or a bar. Yeah, and so he's next to these chalkboards, and it's really cute because on the one on the right, in huge bold letters, it says, "It's all about the belly." And then he decides to stand there and pull up his T-shirt underneath his flannel shirt with suspenders. So he's not showing as much belly as I think some of us would like.
Hey, it's enough for me.
He's just flashing.
Yeah.
But he's cute as shit. And
he kind of has, and I hate to say this, but he kind of has a bit of a lumbersexual look going on if you look at his clothing a little bit. Granted,
he's... True.
You know, on a... Oh, sorry. Yeah, the look on the face is kind of enough for me right now. Yeah, the belly's nice, but yeah, that look... And him and Shake and Bake. Good God. Okay.
I think that's for later.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
Okay.
Is it? Dude, no. No one actually picked it, did they?
Somebody better.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, this picture was at the Chelsea Market back in November. So, but yeah. Oh, and I'm going to reference it, and y'all can hate on me all you want. I'm not going to post it, but Danny Franzese owned somebody on Facebook. He's been doing parody videos recently, and somebody made a comment.
Yeah, I actually saw that.
Did you see that, Damon?
Yeah, because it's a friend of my friend
Carlos
of mine. No, not Carlos, but another friend. And actually, it showed up on my Tumblr because he put it up on his Tumblr. But let me see if I can find it. Give me 1 second. It might take me a little bit, but go ahead.
Well, if it's what I think, basically, someone posted about Daniel Franzese's latest video, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And this guy, I'll leave out the rest of his name. His first name's Joseph, says, this is a comment about Danny. He says, he did go zero to ruby slippers in like no time flat, but dat booty just too fine, LOL. And then he commented again like 2 minutes later and says, he's like the white dumbed down version of Todrick Hall lately. The very next comment on Facebook is actually Daniel Franzese. And he says, you aren't getting any with comments like that.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, the guy turns around, like realizing he's been owned and says, I didn't mean you're dumb. I mean, your videos are a little easier to understand to people who aren't balls deep in drag culture. I meant every word about that booty, though. LOL. And I'm like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. Like, you just totally got called out by Daniel Franzese. Now, notably, that it's a screenshot that I'm looking at from Facebook that was posted. And then since then, this guy Joseph did say again, in reference to the screenshot, just remember, famous people are people who will call you out too. I definitely fangirled a little, though, which I thought was funny. And then there's all these references to people throwing themselves at him and that he's so cool and blah, blah, blah. So
if I can get the link up, I'll show you. I'll get it. There it is. Come on. Ah, oh, fuck. I hate these people with this weird thing. Come here. I don't want the image. I want the fucking link.
So, yeah. So, Danny, we'll just keep saying it again. You're welcome to come on the show. We would like to interview you.
He has like stuff on our.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hold on. Let me pull that up. I completely forgot because you two fangirled via Messenger. Because I shared his video on our Cubs Out Loud group.
Or page?
Our page, yeah.
Page, whatever.
It's not whatever.
Come on. Oh, Facebook, you're being so damn slow. And, yeah, oh. So I posted it and I said, so yeah, the obsession with Daniel Franzese continues, Cubs Out Loud approves. And I tagged him because I followed him on Facebook and then he liked that post.
Yes.
And I was asleep and I wake up to my phone and I'm looking at it and the two of you were like, oh my God. Which I thought was awesome. It made me laugh a lot. I was like,
I didn't say that. Big. What did I say? Danny F. like the shake and bake link on COL.
Yeah.
That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, links. Let's talk about shake and bake. So.
Oh my God.
Basically, Danny Franzese and Adrian and Chondo did a parody of Taylor Swift's Shake It Off called Shake and Bake. And needless to say, I'll just summarize it this. Danny F. twerks.
Boy can twerk.
Yeah.
He can twerk.
And, clarification. I scratched that. Take it back. Bear can twerk. He got a booty and he can twerk. And I'm going to own this embarrassingly because if I meet him in person, he remembers this. I'm probably going to turn 7 shades of purple and red. If you want to twerk on my face, you are more than welcome to. Just say it.
Son of a bitch. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. We will both enjoy it. Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers.
Have you not seen this?
Huh?
Are you just watching the video?
No. I have seen it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, I would be happy to blow a pile drive in that butt for for days if I could. He does a really good job. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're done gushing over Danny.
Mm-hmm.
We're never done.
Yeah, so shake and bake.
But yeah, shake and bake. Yes.
Okay, so moving on. My second pick, since I'm picking shake and bake, is The Flash. The actual CW TV show. Have you seen The Arrow? Well, you've met Barry before the show started. Huh. And I really think they're doing a great job of bringing The Flash to television. So it's interesting and intriguing, and they do a really good job of, you know, having the Flash look and feel. So I approve.
Yeah.
So I really recommend it. And I can watch it on my TV.
I haven't wanted to see it. It's one of those shows that it hadn't come on yet. And then it came on. And I was like, fuck. So now I want to catch up on it. So I'm going to have to try to find a way to catch up on it. Well, I know there's Hulu. I know there's Netflix and all that stuff.
Hulu no longer has the first episode.
Oh, boo.
So you're going to miss the first episode. Episodes 2 through 7, and I do not believe Netflix has it. In fact, one great way of double checking is going to the site called Can I Stream It? It's like search TV into The Flash. The first one is the 1990 television series. By the way, the guy who played The Flash in the 1990 television series plays Barry's dad in the current series.
Huh.
So
cool.
Neat little thing there. And I'm trying to see. Looks like it is purchasable in on the Apple Store or iTunes and Amazon and such. So there's other ways of getting it. But it's been very interesting. I've liked it. And you can stream it using Hulu Plus. And apparently there's some way I can give people a link so I can get 2 weeks free of Hulu Plus, but I'm not sure how to do that. So, Gary.
Yeah. Sorry. I got distracted. I have two links. I'm going to warn you, the first one can never be unseen. So if anybody clicks on it and they watch it, don't try to come for me because you've been scarred. I'm just saying.
Warning.
It's titled Crazy Lithuanian Video, which is supposedly titled Here Is Overkill, I Do Not Want Them to Meet, a.k.a. Big Bad Wolf, People Have Two Heads. And it is really not safe for work. By no means of the imagination.
I don't know if I want to watch this.
It's posted. Now, I'm going to let our listeners know. It's posted on Facebook. The only way I could find the video is to find it on Facebook. I wasn't able to find it outside of Facebook. So if you don't have a Facebook account, I apologize that you're not probably going to be able to watch it. But it's insane.
Oh, God. I'm not going to watch it.
It's not gory, scary,
disturbing.
Yeah, it's just God.
Damn it.
Shit. It's really a what the fuck am I watching?
Oh God, I'm scared now. It's loading.
But to be honest with you, it made me laugh so hard. Oh my God, this is it. I finally remembered. Okay. Boys, Cubs, Vince and Rich, when you listen to this podcast episode, I finally remembered where the video is with the ping pong. They'll know what that means. If you watch the video, I just realized this has to be the video. I asked them if they'd ever seen Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and they said no. And I said, well, then this makes no reference. I recently watched a video that had a ping pong that shoots out. And I said, you need – and then they were looking at me, and I was like, well, if you'd seen Priscilla, you would know what I mean, because it's a classic movie scene. Like, in what Priscilla when Jeff, have you watched it yet?
I'm Whoa! Watching it.
What? What? What the? What is this? Okay, we are pausing that for a second because oh, God. Okay. What the fuck? Okay. No, stopping. Yeah. Stopping it now. Keep talking, Gary. That is going to distract me.
Oh, my God. I'm crying. Jeff must be on mute. There's no reaction.
I just don't know. I don't know.
It's way too disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. We are.
We're just I've been scarred for life.
Scarred.
It is notably not an American commercial by any means of the imagination.
What is that a commercial for?
Music video, whatever the fuck it is. It's notably not from the U.S.
No.
Okay. Oh, so
really?
Now, here is something much more appealing to our audience. So that's why I had to do two. I scarred you with one, but I will bring back your eyesight with the second one.
Okay.
And it's called More Bounce to the Ounce. It's on Vimeo, and it's this thick bear doing a dance. In his bedroom. Now, here's the thing. If you read the description, he does explain that he did stuff his briefs.
Oh, God.
So when he turns around at some point and you get to look at his junk, he notes that it's not the real size of his junk because his briefs are a little loose and he didn't want his actual junk like popping out, so to speak. But
a cute little butt.
Well, right. So here's the thing. I don't know this guy, Tony. I know people who know Tony because they posted this video, and I applaud him for having the balls, no pun intended, to dance in his underwear and post it on Vimeo because he's got sexy ass thighs and a cute butt and everything. But the only thing I kept thinking the whole time, and I know people have already commented about it, and I feel bad. So, Tony, if you're listening and you reach out to us, just a different pair of underwear.
Why?
Because they're – I'll own it. They're not tight enough.
Oh.
They're a little loose and baggy.
Oh.
And I almost think this is supposed to be something where he's just kind of like – listening to some music and he's dancing and he recorded like it's supposed to be like he just turned on some music and started dancing and there's no camera there.
I think he did, but the whole time I was like, oh, if they were just
if he had taken the time to stuff his undies, he should have gotten some better fitting undies.
Well, speaking of which, we have an episode coming up. This is a teaser. We're going to do a Let's Talk About Sex episode, and we're going to talk about underwear.
Nice.
So if anybody has thoughts about underwear, feel free to message us, contact us, any of that kind of stuff.
Are they going to hear this with enough time to comment?
Maybe.
Yes.
It's got a cute little butt.
Because we're doing that next week for Verbally Eels. No, we are doing it next week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I will agree with you, Gary. Yeah, the underwear need to be a little bit tighter. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I like what I see.
He needed his shirt off.
Well,
I think one of my problems was there was a lack. Was there a shirt in the way?
There was a shirt in the way. I don't mind him not having a shirt because I like the little flashes of belly and back that I get.
Yeah, I would just like to see the belly and back. I don't want a flash. And it's like, you fucking tease, take off the damn thing.
That was kind of my thought. I'm like, I'm not sure why he has them on because I don't think they're going to stay on very long. Just a thought.
Speaking of agreeable flashing. Thought. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end. Aww. There's plenty of ways to contact us. You can pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/comesoutloud. Also join the CL Entourage group on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/comesoutloud. Google Plus at google.com/plus comesoutloud. There's also the CL Entourage Google Plus community. Join us. We'd love to hear what you have to say about anything whatsoever, whether it's about the show or not. Also, there's a group on Bear Underground, joined by Viper. Also, please pop over to iTunes, give us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever, I don't care. We'll read it on the show for you. We appreciate that very much. Give us a big old thumbs up on Stitcher Radio. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It says Box Sack, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other, and you can find me in WoW most of the time.
I am TheaterCub79 on Breath 1, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet.
And I'm pretty much GearBear73 anywhere I want to be found on the web.
And with that, take it out, everybody!
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
Nice.
Good night.
I do have to say that there's that part of the Shake and Bake video where Denny F is like in a black tank top and like light black pants, barefoot, and he's got like that ribbon and he's doing kind of like the dancing.
Are you sure that's Danny?
That's Danny. I'm pretty sure that's him. But that's freaking hot.
When he does the kind of jump?
Yeah, I think it's cute.
Oh, well, he's cute all around. And there's some.
Hey, he just got better by getting the beard.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of the fact that he owns his body now. Like I said, when he came out, all the promo shit was about you know, the slimmer version of him from a couple of years ago or from last year. And then I was like, no, he does not look like that.
There's another cute little
cub in this
video as well. I don't know if you in the.
Is he singing?
No. Mm. But there's like one guy dancing in the back that's kind of.
There's a guy that kind of reminds me of Bailey.
Yeah.
He's got those retro like horn rim glasses.
No, that's not him. But there's a. He's definitely got a beard going and. He's got the sleeveless white t-shirt and some.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he just, you know, randomly, you know, he shows up in the back and he's, yeah, he's cute. He is cute.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing is the gentleman that sings the song with him just a good friend?
Are you thinking it's partner? I think it's just a good friend.
I think it's a good friend.
Okay. Now, if they started dating, I wouldn't put it past, you know. But, you know, they seem to be buddy-buddy, less you know, freaky friend kind of things. The one bearded guy is also in the cheerleader thing, which, yeah, I'm a cheerleader, depending mm-hmm. on the
male. I know who you're talking about now, Damon.
Yeah, he's cute. Yeah, I know, right?
He looks a lot like a guy I know up here.
Oh, with the big beard?
Yeah, with the big beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute.
His beard kind of reminds me of Chris McCandless's.
Ah.
Chris.
Jesus, that boy has.
Yes, there are some sexy men in the Shaking Bake video, not just besides Danny Francesi.
In the future, if another Danny Francesi video comes out, what we should all do is just like quickly get together and do a video commentary to it.
I agree with you there.
I think I'll stop recording now.